All right, here we are. CommonSenseOhioShow.com. That means it's the Common Sense Ohio podcast. Sorry, it is what a terrible soft start. Anyway, it's March 14, 2025, Common Sense Ohio, brought to you by Harper Plus Accounting. We've got a sponsor. We had Glenn Harper, the proprietor, the president, the owner, the head honcho, CEO, CFO, and everything else at Harper Plus was in here as a guest. So if you want to check out what they do, and look, it's not just boring, miserable, horrible, awful accounting stuff. He actually makes it sort of fun. He's sort of like I am in the legal world. I like to speak both languages. I can speak geek, legal geek when I need to, but that's no fun. It's more fun to sort of explain legal geek in a way that makes sense to everybody else. Otherwise, you know, these guys get all haughty and stuffy and wear their black wingtips, and, you know, that's no good. Mm-hmm. But not at Harper Plus. They can do your taxes if it's a little return, if it's a big return, if you got multiple businesses, LLCs, if you got a huge corporation, they got you covered. And look, I was on the phone with Glenn last night, not talking about taxes, because he's a buddy of mine. Mm-hmm. And we were just chatting. I'm building a house. I talked through the issues with that. So anyway, he's a great ally. Their team is great over there. It's Harper Plus. If you want to be a sponsor, we got some room here. He's not taking over. There's not a monopoly of sponsorship. So let us know. We've got segments that are open for sponsorship. Now, every week we have segments, and the first one is always This Day in History. On March 14, 2025, a famous guy named Jack Rubinstein, a.k.a. Jack Ruby.
I didn't realize it was Rubinstein.
I didn't either. I didn't either.
Okay, so it's a nickname.
Actually, almost. Forgive me. It was Jacob Rubinstein was his given name.
Really?
And Jacob Rubinstein, the verdict of his conviction, his original conviction for killing Lee Harvey Oswald, was rendered. It was a life verdict. It was later reversed on appeal, believe it or not. And while he was the reversal was sort of like the Sam Shepard case, to bring this back to Ohio. There was too much publicity. They said he couldn't have gotten a fair trial in Dallas, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But while he was awaiting retrial in 1967, I think he died of lung cancer while in custody. But what's interesting about this to me is the first jury verdict ever read on TV live.
Yeah.
The Jack Ruby verdict. And this is relevant. Why? I try to make everything sort of relevant to what's going on. I just related it to Ohio. Did you see what I did there, Norm? You know, the old Sam Shepard, the fugitive.
His killing of Oswald was also televised live.
Yeah, that was live, too. Well, so not only the murder.
True.
Yeah.
Oswald!
Yeah. Bam.
Anyway, it's also relevant because Trump has promised to release all the Kennedy, the rest of the Kennedy docs. We'll see what happens. I know there's lots of sort of like the UFO guys, man. They're just waiting with bated breath to get all the stuff.
Yeah.
And I think there's more to it, too. Call me a foil hat guy, but I think there's more. Just seeing too many question marks in my head. My criminal defense... it's innately in me. I smell a rat. So that is This Day in History, March 14. Tomorrow, of course, is the Ides of March. And if you follow history, you know that that was Julius Caesar's demise.
Mm-hmm.
And beware of the Ides of March. And that was Shakespeare's Julius Caesar.
Et tu, anyway. Brute?
Et tu, Brute. Yeah, exactly. Then fall Caesar.
And then you get, St. Patty's Day on Monday.
St. Patty's Day coming around. Wow. So, look, you folks that are out there on amateur night, I mean, St. Patrick's Day, partying, get your Uber, get your Lyft. And let me, you know, I am a criminal defense lawyer. I do lots of DUI work. So let me give you my words of wisdom. One, don't drink. First, do no harm.
Yeah. You know, designated driver is easy.
Get a designated driver. Get it. And you know what people always ask me in this day and age? How do you keep in business representing people charged with drunk driving when everybody just takes Uber?
Oh, they don't.
Right.
Here's the problem. Yeah.
Here's the problem. I'm going to give you my little diatribe on alcohol. Alcohol impairs the very part of your brain that is designed to make rational decisions, like call an Uber. So people start drinking, and then even if they got wherever they are with Uber, they're going to go home, and guess what? The booty call comes. Maybe you like to, you're out of tobacco, or you need some more vape, or you want to go to Taco Bell or even White Castle if you're really courageous. And you think, oh, it's just right around the corner. You made it home, but then you went out again in your car because it's just right. It's just blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, you're in my office. Please, I'd much rather not see you. But if you do need such help, I can provide it. Palmer Legal Defense.
I mean, it's not nicknamed Courage Juice for nothing.
That's right. That's right. A couple cups of late night courage and you're off to White Castle's.
Exactly.
For the take home a sack of sliders.
And that takes real courage.
that point does.
Well,
that's
I mean,
true.
It depends on who you're living with.
I think I did a show here once where I brought a sack of White Castles. So
Norm's away. I mean, look, I am one of those freaks that I don't eat it because I've reformed my eating habits, but I love that stuff. There's something about it. So
yeah, good. Once a year you gotta have.
Yeah, and then you realize why you didn't after you did.
because
you don't have the iron gut anymore.
Like Taco Bell.
What's Bobby say about that? He says you can still have your Diet Coke and you can still have your French fries, blah, blah, blah. I want my White Castle, Bobby. All right, Norm, let's get to, we'll switch gears here. Norm, news with Norm. There's lots going on. I missed the last couple of weeks for all sorts of reasons, but there's lots going on. So let's run it down.
Lots going on. I thought I'd be a little bit more, rather than newsy, more topic oriented. But the one big news thing that's going on today, Putin's talking about, how he's going to respond to Zelensky and Trump on the peace negotiations. But so there's all kinds of news. But I think the biggest thing today is this continuing resolution where Chuck Schumer, after getting chewed out apparently by Democrat Senator Kristen Gillibrand, she threw a mega fit, it is said, that they could hear in the hallway through the wood panel doors. The reporters outside could hear what was going on. And she is just like, we can't shut the government down. We don't want, after the vote on the Title IX thing last week, which was a disaster for the Democrats, she's like, now we're going to shut the government down?
Look, it's just politically stupid.
Stupid.
I mean, look, go. You want to go step in that big pile of cow dung? Go do it. But it's just insane. I mean, there's nothing to be gained.
Right.
I think the only Republican who wants to shut it down is, who doesn't want the continuing resolution, to be fair to him, is Rand Paul. So he is the one Republican who's not going to vote for the CR. And that is, his constitutional thing, which I get it. I get it.
But you and I have talked about this before. Yeah. So it's like, look, I believe in a conservative ideology. I do. I really do. But I also understand that we don't get everything we want. And you can howl at the moon all you want.
Right.
But if you're doing that and it's causing a detriment to the bigger picture, the bigger picture movement.
Right.
You got to sort of take one for the team here.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think that's why Gillibrand. So Chuck Schumer came out yesterday. We'll see what happens today. I think they need four more senators to get to 60 votes because it's got to be a supermajority to pass this thing.
I mean, it would be political suicide.
Schumer came out and said, we need to stop Trump. And the way to stop Trump is to fund the government. So if you can follow that.
And there's, Trump. I got a bone to pick. We can pick it here with these tariffs. I don't like this going on.
That's another topic.
It's they're hand in glove because Trump, I think, is screwing up here. I think the economy doesn't like this. The market is in a free fall. Free fall might be an overstatement, but the economy doesn't like it.
It's a 2% correction.
And here's the problem. Here's the problem.
That's not a depression.
That we need stability. Trump in his last term, everything sort of was going up in the right direction.
Yeah.
Okay. It's been 50 days.
And he is, I think he is sort of haphazardly throwing around threats of tariffs like 200% now for the wine. People don't like it. And, it does help some businesses. But in the main, I don't understand the end game. Now, I will understand this.
Let me be Trump for 5 seconds?
Let me finish, and then I'll let you be Trump.
Because there is an end game.
So I understand if we are using a threat of tariffs to get concessions from people, I'm totally cool with that.
Yeah.
And if we're going to say to, another country that, look, you're going to tariff our product,
right?
Then we're going to tariff your similar product at the same rate. Or we can both just walk away and not have any tariffs, and that'd be fine.
That would be the idea.
Yeah. But when you start making, bigger bombastic threats like to Canada it just seems like it's a little bit more than what it needs to be. And I guess sometimes, or in some of these, I see the end game, but with Canada, I don't. I don't see, look, what concession can Canada give us that will back Trump off tariffs? And if you have an answer, I'm more than willing to hear it.
Well, one that they did just this week is they backed off the electrical 25% tariff for the next 30 days while they work out an agreement.
All right, well, fair enough. I'm okay with that. I mean, if that's the goal, but if there's some other goal, like if there's a broader perspective here, like we're just going to create America first and isolate, and we're going to build everything we need here and not have everything we need here.
I think
that's what people are worried about.
Was the electric tariff in place prior to all this already?
No. No, it was a retaliation
for
Trump's threats to tariff Canada.
Okay, we didn't even need that in the first place. That's my point. It's creating this escalating tariff.
Yeah.
Look, trade wars don't work. They've never worked.
Well, so in our last show, we went through...
I missed it, so forgive me.
No, it's okay. We went through the automotive engine example that I gave.
That was a good
where
one.
Where parts are going back and forth across the border, and every time they do, they rack up more tariffs. So, Trump backed off anything to do with Mexico and Canada on the automotive
stuff,
pre-negotiated treaty
from
his first term,
which was the
North American NAFTA agreement.
Yeah.
So he abided by that and took that off the table, which he should have, and I'm glad he did. But so Steve, yes, it's been like 50 days. He's doing this tariff stuff. Either you buy into what he's trying to achieve, but a lot of people aren't listening. They're just looking at their 401k and they're having a conniption fit because the market went down 2%. And I get that. It's a correction, but it was at historical highs. It was 43,000.
I'm okay with corrections.
Yeah. So it's
I look at this, right? And we got bargain basement pricing on the market. So go in.
Well, we had a 10% correction under Biden. I don't remember the Democrats flipping out over that. This is a 2% correction.
Look, I was screaming at both.
Yeah. So, right. But what the goal is here is to bring back manufacturing to the United States. That's the overall goal of Trump's policies to bring Honda.
Okay.
They were going to go to Mexico. Now they're coming into the U.S. because they want to avoid the tariff.
Then there's
a lot of this going on.
Let me pose something, though. If that's the goal, why not just say that?
He has said it.
And why not say it with that? But he said it, but he's not.
No, he's saying
he
this.
He throws out the threats and doesn't say, I'll back off if. He just waits for the response.
Steve, I'm following it pretty closely.
Well, you might be right. Maybe I'm not seeing it.
Maybe I'm not hearing it either.
He is saying that, and Howard Lutnick and his, Scott Bessent and these people that work for him that are running Treasury and running the budget office, they're all singing from the same song sheet.
So look, he was talking to Ireland yesterday.
Right.
Was it yesterday or 2 days ago?
Right.
He was talking about the Irish and said, look, the Irish have taken advantage. He said a lot of people have taken advantage of the United States. And I think that's probably true in some ways, but a trade deficit isn't a disadvantage necessarily.
Well, Pfizer, for example, I think all their boner medicine is made in Ireland.
Yeah, but Ireland
a little
simply
red, blue pills.
But Ireland didn't tariff.
Which, ladies, I don't need.
Ireland.
I'm putting that out there.
That's because he's celibate. If Ireland...
Well, I'm trying to sell something.
If Ireland didn't do it with tariffs, though. Ireland did it by... I think they did it by cutting their corporate tax rates. So when Biden was screaming for, we want this worldwide corporate tax...
Well, they did a CHIPS Act on pharmaceuticals. Yeah. They gave away the store, and so people...
Well, we could do that instead of a tariff.
Yeah, so... Yeah. Well, and Trump has come out against the CHIPS Act.
Right. I mean, so look, I mean, if the goal is to get manufacturing here, I think we can achieve it without a trade war.
But I don't think that we should do it by federal or state subsidies. I mean, that's crazy. What we did for Intel, for example, they're not going to bring these 10,000 jobs to Ohio. That's not happening.
That's right. So what you have to, I think the only way to do that would be to say, look, we're going to cut our corporate, we're going to incentivize corporations for doing business in the United States as opposed to outside the United
Organically.
States. Organically.
Just everybody.
It's going to cost you less because we're not going to tax you.
Why shouldn't you get a cut if Intel gets a cut, right?
That's right.
We should all get a cut.
Yeah. So I'm not saying selectively target like a CHIPS Act or selectively say, look, we're going to just incentivize Intel in Johnstown, Ohio.
Yeah.
But you can just say, look, we're not going to tax corporate entities or whatever impediment, regulatory tax or otherwise, that is on corporations.
Right.
Eliminate that. And then people will come here, build it, and they will come.
Right.
And it may take 4 years or 5 years, but it'll happen. And I think the tariffs... I think it looks good. I think Trump loves throwing it around. He likes, like he's been talking about it. They're a beautiful thing. He loves it.
Well, dude, you do know we get, our manufacturers do get screwed here. Like, you do know that, like, if you try to ship cars made in the U.S. to Japan or Germany.
I don't have a problem with that.
It's like 100% tariff.
No, I do have a problem with I have a problem with the tariff, but I don't have a problem saying, look, if you're going to do that to us, we're doing that to you.
No shit.
But he's not just, it doesn't sound like that. So maybe,
Well, it sounds like that.
Behind the scenes, or if I read more in, deeply into it, I think what you're saying is there's more to it. But look.
There is more to it. And Trump, I think there's also Trump derangement, not by you, but by a lot of the commentators and news people.
They want him to fail.
Exactly. Yeah, right. And so they make it look like it's reckless. So, but he's negotiating. So he beat the crap. Let's take it into the war thing. So people thought what he did with Zelensky.
Well, don't go there yet. I do want to talk about that.
No, but I mean, it's that recklessness that he's being charged with.
I don't think he was reckless at all in that.
I think he is just, he's Mr. Like, he's the mayor of Realville. He just lays it out there, man.
Yeah, so look, unlike the situation with Zelensky and Vance in the White House press conference, which I'll talk about in a second, Trump is suffering here with this tariff messaging from what he always suffers with. It's his Achilles heel. It's the way he delivers the message sometimes appears a little bombastic, a little carefree, a little...
Well, I get that.
I'm just saying, look,
I get that.
If your goal is this... release a paper, make it abundantly clear, and say, look, if Japan's going to tear... You know when he did that?
He has been saying all this.
You know when he did it the best?
Yeah.
In his speech.
In the state of the, whatever you want to call it, joint session. He said there's going to be pain short term, and that he's talking about the stock market.
Yeah, I got it. But when he says to the liquor folks, and look, France, these are all like, now we're just in this escalating,
well, you tariff us,
I'm going to tariff you. You tariff this, we're going to raise to 200%.
That's because France stuck that on Kentucky bourbon.
They did it because Trump was tariffing other stuff. So it's like this, it's this escalating problem.
Right.
And maybe his goal was to get these concessions, but it doesn't look like that's getting achieved. It looks like it's escalating.
It is getting achieved. So, Steve, we are the number one market. The United States is still, even more than China, we are the number one market for foreign goods that want to sell their stuff here, right? So if we tariff them, they're going to eventually crumple. They have to, because we're their market. Where else are they going to sell?
I guess I look at it this way.
Where else are they going to sell this stuff?
And everybody knows, we're in the driver's seat. People who have listened over the years understand where I how I tack in this regard.
I'm
a libertarian type of guy, and I don't like the government meddling in this kind of crap. And I get it that there's a goal. Sometimes I'll make exceptions. So if there's no way we should be incentivizing China to do anything.
So if you're a libertarian, you would be against other countries meddling in tariffs.
Yes.
So all we're seeking is fairness, dude.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you, but it doesn't feel that way. And maybe maybe I'm falling victim to the messaging.
Well, he is bombastic. Yeah. I mean, I don't even like Trump. Okay, I mean, he is bombastic. He isn't. We did a whole show on him being an asshole.
When is this strategy in history worked?
So he keeps referring back to, is it Rutherford B. Hayes? He has a precedent that all of his economists who are in favor of this have said that that did work. And this is what paid for the government to operate before we had an income tax. Mm. Like, this did work.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, I'm not the smartest guy in the room at the table or even in anywhere near, but I...
Well, remember he proposed an external revenue service to replace the internal revenues? He is talking about perhaps tariffs. If these other countries do not equalize...
All right, so equalize tariffs, but here's another thing we should at least distinguish. You have tariffs and trade deficits.
Yeah.
They're not the same thing.
No.
But
that one exacerbates the other.
Maybe, but not always.
So Brett,
so
on
you
our
can
show,
have a trade deficit without a tariff.
On our show last week, Brett brought up the situation with farmers vis-a-vis Canada. Right? We don't tariff their dairy products coming in here, but our farmers can't send butter, milk, whatever up to Canada without a big tariff, and it screws, family farms. You know, in Wisconsin
and the fertilizer coming in is hugely taxed for some reason, and it's going to – I don't know. I'm the same with you. I don't like the volleying back and forth. I guess the one thing that bothers me, too, is the knee-jerk reaction to tariff this, and then it pulls back and this and then pulls back. It's like, that's very difficult for business owners to plan.
Well,
I think that's the disruption.
I think Norm would say that's the short-term pain
that's
that we're going to have to experience.
Really, yeah. And
so we're going to start seeing prices go up too on stuff. So I'm in the process of building a house. I'm watching material go up literally in real time.
Well, you heard the report this week, right? So if you take out energy prices and food, which is what the CPSC does, actually inflation went down.
The rate went down.
The rate went down.
Yeah, the rate went down. It's down to like 2.5%.
Right.
For the first time since 2020, I think.
I filled up for $2.37 a gallon for unleaded regular.
Yeah, that's all good. So Trump had great economic numbers
on Sunday.
Yeah. So. And look, I just maybe it's the messaging, maybe it's not. Yeah. Whatever it is, I want to finish my point about trade deficits.
Yeah,
because
go ahead, Matt.
You can have a trade deficit. Like, let's say we're buying a product from a different country, and we can't supply our own product. There's an immediate deficit because we're a consumer nation.
Yeah.
There's an immediate deficit.
Right.
Now, if when you're talking about Canada, like they're shipping similar products here and we're shipping similar products there, but they're not taking ours. Well, that's a different kind of, that's a trade deficit, but a different ilk of it.
Right.
So we can't, they could get our stuff and we could, in theory, sell them a similar product. Well, that might be a more realistic trade deficit that we'd want to defeat. But and maybe a tariff is the place to do that.
Yeah.
But there's too many people throwing around, oh, there's a huge trade deficit from this country. It's like, all right, well, we don't make that product.
There could be other reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
We don't make that product.
Well, a good example of the tariff, or I should say a deficit in regards to wood, lumber coming from Canada. Canada has a lot more better lumber than we have.
There's going to be a deficit.
There's going to be.
Naturally a deficit.
But that might be the best example, or not best. But
and if we're going to tariff it, and trying to fix this other problem, then it's going to cost us more. It's infinitely more to build.
Right.
House.
Yeah.
They're going to tariff it, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But who are they going to sell that lumber to other than us? See, this is what Trump is looking at.
I understand.
Oh, yeah. I don't know the world market.
They need our market.
Yeah.
Way the hell more than we need their market.
That's right.
Yeah. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, and I don't know about the world market for their lumber. I have no clue.
Well, I confess, but I feel a little bit better about your explanation of this.
Yeah.
I think, like so many other issues that are maybe non-issues, it comes down to the messaging and how it's getting delivered. And that's a problem because, as Brett says, that's a great point. The market reacts to that.
Yeah.
And when Trump says, well, they're always saying that there's no reliability or there's volatility in the market. But it's like, no, there is.
Well, look what he did.
And I think we could have avoided these dips in the market had he have just said, look, I got a plan. It's going to work. Instead, he says, well, you know, maybe I'll just tariff him 200% instead. He doesn't need to say that kind of stuff.
I think you're right. The messaging should be better. I think this more or less the same thing would have happened on Wall Street. One thing he did this week, for example, is strategic. So it even has national security implications. He put a tariff on foreign steel and aluminum. Now, Japan has been trying to buy U.S. steel, right? Headquartered, I guess, still in Pittsburgh or wherever they're headquartered. And he put the kibosh on that. He's like, for national security reasons, like if we're going to build ships, we're going to build stuff.
Yeah, if we're rebuilding our Navy. We
got to have steel being produced here.
Yeah.
Or else, right, they can charge whatever they want.
Yeah, I think you need to really microscope that national security stuff, whatever we need to build here, the tech piece of
and
it.
Like the ships.
We need to be making it here.
Yes.
Now, there's another point I want to bring up that's maybe more to yours, Norm.
Sure.
And what you just said, Brett, and that is this. I was in a debate with somebody the other day, and he's like, talk me off the ledge. You know, he leans a farther left than, I can't even say I lean left at all, but he leans left.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And he said, talk me off the ledge. It seems like everything's in chaos. And we were starting to talk about the Ukraine, and we were starting to talk about these, what's going on. I'm like, listen, here's the problem. Because his answer to Ukraine was, look, why are we giving up these two regions? Why should Ukraine have to do it? Aren't there economic sanctions? I said, yeah, but the problem is nobody's going to support economic sanctions because the whole other side wants to see Trump fail. They do not want him to succeed. And they are more than happy to see him fall on his face with Ukraine. They are more than happy to see him fall on his face with these tariffs or with this U.S. steel deal. Right. So they're not going to explain the other side of this.
Yeah. No.
And they're not going to message it that way.
They're
going to be happy not to create an oil embargo against Russia and instead supply oil elsewhere to Europe. And Europe's not going to do it either because they all hate Trump and they want to see him. What his point was, if we could all just get along, we might be able to do, we might have more power to get a more direct approach at some of these problems.
Yeah.
But it's everything he does is a fight, even if it's right.
Yeah. Well, yeah. like NATO funding.
Yeah.
He is told only Poland really, besides the U.S., is paying their 5%. All the other, even England, all the other countries, France, Italy, all the other members of NATO, they do not pay their fair share.
Mm-mm.
And so Trump is like, well, you're Europe. If you want to defend Europe, defend Europe. Like, we're not Europe. We're in the U.S. We're not in the North Atlantic.
No, we're not.
You people are.
But
you people need to defend yourself. You're wealthy countries. World War II was a long time ago. There's no need for the U.S.
Yeah, see, it sounds good, but don't you think that the U.S. has to be the world police?
No.
I disagree. I think the U.S. has to be the world police.
No.
Because we are the biggest power outside China.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if we're not out there occupying space, China's going to do it. And Europe, you can say Europe could do it, but they're not going to do it. They've never done it.
So I'm not saying that we shouldn't have alliances and agreements and reciprocity with military cooperation and all that. I certainly think we should stay in NATO, and the South Pacific version of NATO, I think, is SEATO, whatever they call that. So, I'm not saying we disengage from the world, but I think alliances need to be the police, not the U.S. That's what I think.
Yeah, would I love that in a perfect world where everything's hunky-dory? Great.
Well, like,
but
Desert,
Europe's not going
to
do it.
Dude, yeah, Desert Storm 1. So George Bush and Colin Powell, to their credit, and James Baker, who was Secretary of State back then, they got, what was it, like 45, 50 countries to be part of that alliance.
Let's not do it.
Now, we were the leaders of it. But other people had their fingerprints on the bloody knife.
Well, maybe it's more about the perspective. Let's not look at it like we are going to be the people who have to pay for everything in NATO and yada, yada, yada. Instead, why don't we just say if we need to do this because we need to protect ourselves against China.
But you know what everybody has agreed to, Steve, like for the Ukrainian peace, people's ideas of what that looks like, even Europe is not saying, even they, not to mention Putin and Zelensky, nobody wants U.S. troops on the ground in Ukraine. Like, they don't want...
It'd be a disaster.
Well, they don't want
our... It'd be World War III.
They don't want our troops in, brushing shoulders with Russian troops. So I'm not saying you're saying this, but for people who think that the U.S. ought to be the world's police... Then you would say, well, then they need to be the peacekeepers like we are in South Korea, right on the DMZ, right there. So if the North Koreans make a move, it's a tripwire. Well, we don't want that in Ukraine.
No.
Because it's a nuclear war then.
So it's really more about what I think maybe we're saying the same thing. It's the world police is the secondary effect of that. The secondary effect of this. We need to control the world space, particularly the waterways, the oceans, and everything else, because if we don't, China will.
Well, we need a robust presence. Yeah. I will agree
with
that.
And that's what I mean by world police.
Yeah.
We are there. And it's not unlike, just to bring it back to the Ukraine debate with Zelensky, Trump, and Vance in the White House.
Yeah.
And this is where I think the Trump derangement folks get it wrong. Trump was giving Zelensky exactly what he wanted. He was just calling it something different.
Yeah.
He was saying, look, we're going to come in. You're going to give us these mineral rights. And guess what? We have to protect our mineral rights. And if we're there, isn't that security for Ukraine?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think whether we said this on the podcast last week or not, it might have been afterwards, they flipped the table. They should have signed it first, then had this press conference.
Well,
you brought that up, and I agree. It's like, why did we do this?
I hear tell. Was it Murphy from Connecticut or one of these guys?
They got
in Zelensky's ear.
Yes,
in between,
and coached him up,
and basically said, "You don't need to do this. You should stand tall to Trump. You shouldn't have to give up anything. You should blah blah blah." And that's what Zelensky went in there doing.
Who got in his ear? Who
the Democratic Senator?
Chris Murphy.
Chris
Murphy
from Connecticut, and others.
Who's a Molotov cocktail thrower?
Yeah, he threw a monkey wrench
into
it.
Right.
And look, and here's what it was interesting because I had to go back and watch that, and maybe this is the point you were trying to make, Norm, is that I didn't pay attention to all the messaging, or maybe only the messaging. But when I went back and watched that whole interview, and it was painful,
Yeah.
It was.
I mean, it was long and it was sort of boring. I mean, right. It's like watching it grow. It's like, gosh, this is so awful.
We were like, they should have signed this thing first and then done the press.
You know who the reasonable guy in the room was? Was Trump.
Yeah.
It really was.
He was balancing
until he started, until he got jabbed into when
at
he
the
got,
very end. Trump's like, "All right, screw this, get out."
Yeah,
but you know, Trump was the reasonable guy in the room. He kept saying, "Look, I think you're going to get what you want. I think this is it. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to be happy. I think we can get there."
And Vance got off on his little
and Vance
tirade.
Sort of went on a tirade. I don't think was necessary.
To show that
if I were
he
in
had
that
presence
room,
there.
If I were in that room, and if I fault Trump for anything, I would have said, "Folks, we need to reconvene. We're going to go talk, and we're going to come back."
Yeah.
And we're going to get on the same page because that's what we're trying to do here. And then he said, and I would look right at Zelensky and say, hey, Zelensky, let's go in the back and talk about this and not air it out in
public. Don't do diplomacy on live.
And Zelensky did it. And Zelensky did it first.
That's a victory lap.
That's
that
right.
Press conference should have been a victory lap.
A victory lap.
It was supposed
to be. After they signed.
Yeah. And Zelensky torpedoed it on purpose.
If that representative did get in Zelensky's ear,
he wasn't the only one. The whole left.
That's bullshit.
And here's the problem. Here's the problem.
I mean, even if you had a D or an R behind your name, that's bullshit.
Well,
it was a D.
But you know what I mean.
And it was a group of them. And
And it's because they wanted to take a win away from
Trump.
They
want to see Trump fail.
But we're talking
peace. At the expense of peace in Ukraine.
Yeah.
And people's lives on the line.
Right. And they don't care because the power is more important than the win. And it just is, it's gross.
Yeah.
It's
gross. And I think that happened.
Plus what we're spending.
I think it's pretty much affirmed. It's pretty much been verified that happened.
It did happen.
And right. That is treasonous.
When in time did that happen when he arrived?
The day.
The day of during that day? Yeah. Okay. I'm just curious. Yeah.
They put him in a room and had a talk with him and said, you don't need to do this. You know, you'll get consent. Like, encouraged him. However they did. Maybe they said, just do it and we got you back.
Yeah.
And Zelensky doesn't know enough.
Right.
About our politics.
He's negotiating for a security guarantee that
we were giving him.
Yes.
We were giving
him
in effect rather than.
So look,
you know,
this is no different than Kennedy.
Membership in NATO,
look,
which is not going to happen.
This crap has been going on forever. Khrushchev needed cover to pull the.
Right.
Khrushchev needed cover. So Kennedy promised to bring down our missiles in Western Europe.
Yeah.
Or in Eastern Europe. And. But he didn't do it for 6 months.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like everybody's like, we all know what we're doing here, but we got to make it look like something. And is this right? Maybe, maybe not. But I do it in my business all the time.
You know, Khrushchev is a really good, that's a really good comparison, Steve. So you might recall on live TV again, where it kind of went off the rails when Nixon, who was vice president then for Eisenhower, and Khrushchev were at the World's Fair, and they had that kitchen debate. And it was right in front of the media about the merits of communism versus the open market, you know, versus democracy. Mm-hmm. And you know, that could have got out of hand.
Easily.
Because it was just a couple of years after, right, the Cuban, Bay of Pigs. And you're like, you know, I hope Dick Nixon here doesn't get this guy too exercised, right, because... Yeah. Who knows what kind of fallout might happen? And at that time, he was like J.D. Vance. He was the vice president. It's like, dude, you're not even the president. Back down a little, you know?
Yeah. If anybody was at fault, there was Vance. Look, Zelensky started the mess.
Yeah.
Vance, I and maybe he and Trump had some agreement, like you'd be the heavy if you need to be.
Right. Bad cop,
I don't know.
Good cop. I don't know.
Maybe.
But I think a better strategy there for all would have been, all right, Zelensky, you're off the rails here.
Turn off the cameras. We're going to go back and talk.
If I thought we had this worked out, we don't.
Yeah.
We obviously have some more to talk about.
Yeah.
We'll be back, folks.
Yeah.
This is how politics works. This is how negotiations work. This is how it is. Mm-hmm. It's not always clean and easy.
Yeah.
We're going to do our best to work together.
Yeah.
Turn off the damn cameras and go. And then when you get to Zelensky in the back room and you say, what in the fuck are you doing? Forgive my language.
Yeah.
No.
That's right.
You know, you say, look, dude.
Yeah. You got to be kidding me.
Then you can really be the heavy.
Yeah, because
you want to see your country fall.
Yeah,
we'll show you how your country falls. Because all we got to do is turn off the bank account, and you're done.
You can't change the deal on live television.
Yeah, what are you doing?
What are you doing,
you SOB?
Yeah.
Well, just in general, a couple of things, guys, and I don't know if we want to riff on these, but you know, I was just thinking about trends. And I'm thinking about, like, the rise of our pretend culture, versus reality. And it seems like much of the problems that we're having in our society revolve around people wishing for things that aren't real, like things that either don't exist or they can't exist or they're impossible, they're fantasies. And I see this all across our culture, the rise of movies and amusement parks and all kinds of things which stress the unreal, like Disney used to have the Hall of the Presidents and, Pirates of the Caribbean. And now they have, not Waterworld, but that crazy space thing where, there's developers of planets and they're at war with the native people on some planet. Whatever that James Cameron movie
I never saw it.
Yeah. Oh, it's like the two biggest movies of all time. And it's all fantasy stuff. And and it leads to people. I was listening to somebody who was defending the Democrats voting on that Title IX thing. They basically are saying that men who want to pretend to be women have superior rights to actual women. Like they can go into a physical sport like soccer or volleyball or whatever, basketball, and they can be a pretend woman when they're not. And that literally, I think it was Bill Maher, somebody said, well, who has the right to say that they're a woman when they're not? And the answer from the woke guest on the show was everybody. Anybody can claim to be a woman. Well, then, now... And I'm just seeing this across our culture where people just want something and so they invent it. And now they want the consecration of legality to be bestowed on their pretend universe. And they want the rest of us, to call them by their pronouns or to talk about their they, them when they're singular. It's just...
Well, it's a rejection of reality.
What the hell's going on, man?
Well, and sadly... I'm hoping this. I don't have statistics, but we're talking about a very, very small minority of people doing this, but they're getting such a big spotlight.
Huge attention.
That's the thing. That's what's bothering. Now, because of the huge spotlight, it makes it feel like half the country is calling themselves whatever they want to do. And I don't think that it's almost overblown, I guess you could say, but I to your point,
look, it's
we're putting much more spotlight on it and they're getting the attention. How they're getting it, I'm not quite sure how they got to that point. I don't know what was the turning point.
How did we get to the point where they're dying on this hill?
Yeah,
exactly.
How does this happen?
And the turning point that you see, I now need to, or suggested to you, have to put your pronouns after your name. When did that turning point happen?
Well,
I don't play in that sandbox. I don't put pronouns. You pretty much know what it is. I'm okay if you want to. Fine if you want to, but
it's cultural Marxism, right? So it may not even be intentional. I think it is on certain levels. Yeah. It's very intentional. Yeah, it's been pressed down. It started in the 90s. I was in college in the 90s at the College of Worcester. And the term then was politically correctness.
Yeah.
And we couldn't use certain terms, because you didn't want to offend people or this or that. And I came right out of I was a rough framer, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
In Ohio. Yeah. In Central Ohio, I was a rough framer. And they were black, white. It didn't make any difference. But
rough framer's construction.
Banging nails.
Yeah.
Like tool belt, banging nails in the sun.
Yeah.
Construction worker stuff.
Yeah.
And I walked into this environment and I'm like, well, this isn't real. I remember people, even other of the Ohio folk, I had a different perspective because I was working with the real world people.
Right.
And I came into this and I'm looking around, I was like, this is lunacy.
Yeah, they're not plugged in.
And because look, there's a see you next Tuesday word that everybody knows. That is an increment of measurement when you're on a construction site.
Yes, right.
It is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I used that term one time and they're like, oh, you can't say that here. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Right.
We're shooting pool at a bar. You can't say that around here. I'm like, I just came from a place where we said, how far do we need to go over?
Yeah.
Well, just a, you know, you could say it.
Just go to Australia. They use that word like every third word is that
word.
So
it was in you know,
and
also
it's an ugly
word.
I
so then we started to divide people, you know, then certain, and if you divide people culturally, if you divide people based on race, if you divide people based on whatever you're going to divide them on, then you are creating chaos.
Yeah.
And then you can start, it is a challenge of reality in and of itself.
Yeah.
To say, this word is bad. It's a word, right?
Yeah.
It's a word. It doesn't make any difference.
Yeah.
And I think ultimately it just evolved over time. So since the 90s, I saw it emerge. And that was only my lived experience in a small college
but
in the
90s. But that point in time with the PC stuff, that makes sense.
And it starts to grow.
Because that was kind of the wokeness of the 90s. It was PC.
It was PC.
Like, you can call it that. That's where I think.
So then you have to create victimized. You have to create victimized people in order to empower them to push in that sort of socialist leftist direction.
Yeah, right.
If you're a victim, then if the answer to your strife and your peril and your station of life is a power imbalance in the world, that somehow you've been treated unfairly, and this is why you don't have all the things that you want, this is why you're not happy every day, this is why you're in this existence, it's because of this unfairness, and we can just create this evil white man enemy and say it's all their fault, this power structure, this patriarchal society that is at fault for creating this. It's the same thing
the problem,
that Lenin was preaching.
The problem why, the reason why the Democrats in particular have lost their footing is because there's a whole history of civil rights legislation that was passed and all these programs, affirmative action, what have you, Title IX for women. All of these things were done to address inequalities, perceived or real, you know, I don't want to argue about that, but that's why they were passed. And yet they're undercutting those very programs by saying that the pretend culture, you can be a man and assert and legally get the rights of women by just making the assertion. Well, if you can do that for gender, you could do it for race.
Well, I was going right there too. It's like you could have said, I'm white, but I'm going to say I'm black today.
I'm black. Mm. So I get the affirmative action benefit.
It eats itself.
It eats itself.
It eats itself.
I don't know what the hell they're
doing. It's an infinity practice of division. There's no bottom to it.
It
just eats itself. And ultimately, it destroys itself, I think.
Yeah.
And it destroyed itself.
Look at all the black men that voted for Trump because they're like, hey, this shit's not real.
Look, culturally, they get it.
Yeah.
They're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You know, and not even culturally, but commonsensically, they get it.
Yeah.
Like, people get it. They're starting to get it.
They're starting to get it.
And now
it's fake.
The only people that are on this hill are the people who want the power by convincing others that it's right. That they're victims. And the victims themselves who have been convinced that they're victims, and they think somehow it's going to change and get fixed. And look, the unfairness of our world is innate.
Right.
It just is.
It's reality. It is.
So no matter how I got myself into a predicament, or whether I'm at fault in putting myself in a predicament, even if it is somebody else's fault in the most evil of ways, I'm still sort of responsible for getting myself out of it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make it right. It's completely wrong.
Yeah.
But you can't just give me something and fix it.
It won't fix.
Yeah, because your point too, those people on the hill, there's no conversation to be had with those that are trying to understand why they're on the hill.
We don't get the opportunity to talk, to understand, to help. I've always said, most often, we will agree on the problem, but hardly ever the solution.
Yeah.
True.
That's a huge distinction. Yeah. So I can say, yes, this is unfair. Like, where you are here is unfair.
Yeah.
What's happened to you is totally unfair. I deal with it all the time, and people wrongfully accused of crimes, or maybe they're over-accused, meaning it's more than what it should have been. Mm-hmm. It's not fair.
Yeah.
And you can howl at the moon all you want. Like, again, we'll use the term. You can scream and yell and say what you want, but it's not going to change anything.
Yeah.
It's unfair. And you know, when I have found myself in predicaments, I can almost, and here's the counterpoint, I can almost always turn back the clock to some bad decision I made. Almost always. If I'm being intellectually honest with myself, I can almost always do it.
Yeah.
You gained weight. Well, when did that start? Around Christmas, you used those magic words, F it, and you said, I'm just going to eat these cookies. Next thing you know, you're eating biscuits. Next thing you know, you had pancakes. Next thing you know, you're 6 weeks into it after the holidays, and you're still eating like crap.
Yeah.
And is that right? Well, look, I got myself into this predicament. And even when other people sort of have taken advantage of me, it's a decision I made.
Yeah, right.
It's usually some decision I made that contributed to it in a way that I can control getting out of it.
Well, like the fatties at Sue McDonald's. I'm like, well, what did McDonald's force you to go in the store?
And look, I get it. This is an oversimplification of things like racism. There's a common theme here. There's a thread here. And we need to, instead of saying, you're a victim, so somehow give me all the power and I will fix it for you.
Yeah.
Which is really what they're saying.
Yeah.
Right. I'll fix it for you. All you have to do is give me all the power to do everything I want, and I will fix this for you, Mr. Victim.
Yeah.
You can say, look, I empathize with your problem. I know you have a problem. Why don't we talk about different solutions so you can help get, like, empower them?
Yeah.
Because, look, and maybe this is the Judeo-Christian values upon which I live my life, and that is that the other side of adversity usually is growth, and it's only if I had to do it myself.
Yeah.
However unfair the predicament was.
Well, you pretty much laid out the contradictions between, you know, I guess people who would expect you to live within your means, to take personal responsibility for your life, and what pretty much Governor DeWine's State of the State speech was, which he just rolled out. He was the ultimate rhino this past week, and just rolled out one crazy new program after another. You know, like,
it's nonsense.
He wants to set up campuses across Ohio for child wellness instead of, like, teaching health better, you know, to high school students.
Right.
So that when they become mothers and fathers, they know how to take care of a baby.
Somehow the government can fix this?
You're going to go to a campus?
Yeah. So stupid.
And then asking.
I mean, my God.
And then Tressel being typecast. But his first order is, like, can you take care of wellness in the state of Ohio? And it's like, thanks. So you bring a coach in. I'm being typecast here. I have a brain. I could do more than wellness and health.
Take care of wellness.
What could be more personal to your responsibility as a parent or as an individual single person than taking care of your health and your family's health?
Well, and here's,
it's like, if you're not up for that, what kind of human being are you?
And here's the classic Thomas Sowell. It's like, because the criticism we're going to get here is that, that commonly results is, if we don't agree, or programs like this are never judged on their effectiveness.
Right.
Only on the stated goal. And I say stated goal because sometimes the goal is not what they're stating. The stated goal is, we have a problem. We have a racism problem, or we have an overweight problem,
yeah,
or we
right.
have a transgender so that, problem. So we have this
problem. Literacy problem,
so
whatever it is.
We're going to create a program, spend a bunch of government money, and deal with this. And if you disagree with that, then you don't like all these people.
You're not as kind. Right. You're not as kind as me.
You're not as kind.
And he is Governor Kind.
Because
but
I know
his
this.
Kindness is killing us.
I know this. When my, you know, when we raise our kids, the way that, you know, you would. Everybody just knows intuitively. If you give them too much, it spoils them, and they learn nothing.
Right. Here's a family-sized bag of Doritos, and I'm just going to give that to you. You're going to sit on the couch and eat the whole bag. Not in my household.
Right.
I mean,
so, look, if I fix a problem for my kid, I've taught him nothing.
Exactly.
I've taught him nothing.
Nothing. Exactly right.
And implicitly in that statement is the understanding that, erroneous, I would add, that I can fix it.
And also, you know? also implicit in that statement is that you have to know that some people are not going to take care of themselves, not take care of their babies.
Until they experience the adversity that changes them.
That's right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that sucks.
Right.
That is life.
And there's no government program to fix that.
I have had to look in the mirror time and time again in my life and say, whether it's my fault or not, it's my responsibility now.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and it can come back to whether you're pro-vaccine or anti-vaccine, doesn't matter. But if you're the parent and made the choice, you get the consequences.
Live with it.
Of whatever you choose to do.
Right.
Whether it is a ramification of the vaccine or the lack
of
the vaccine.
So here's where the other side, great point, because here's what the other side then does. You're not, this is when my doctor said, well, I've told this story before. He's trying to get me to take a vaccine. And his final push after like 10 questions was, well, you understand that it only works if everybody gets it. And I looked at my doc and I said, you could not have said anything worse to me to convince me to take this shot. And that's the point. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you 100%. Mm-hmm. You don't vaccinate your kid. What they're going to say is, well, then you're going to promote the spread of infectious disease and kill all of us. All right, now how do you come back from that argument?
Yeah.
Like, all right, why don't we start analyzing which vaccine?
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, it can't be blanket for sure. Yeah. And,
but again, though, the point is that's an overstatement. That's a rhetorical overstatement that is designed to force people to do what the government wants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is not a statement on vaccines, by the way. Do what you want. Do what you want. Research it. Learn about it.
Yeah.
And there are vaccines that are good. There's some that I don't like.
Yeah. Right. And Trump just withdrew the guy who was going to head up the CDC because he made statements against the measles vaccine. So Trump pulled him. Good for Trump.
Okay.
Because the measles vaccine is one of the most successful of all the vaccines.
Yeah, and this is the other.
Then he needs to be talking to Kennedy about this then.
This is the other Trump.
That's his stance.
They pulled the guy. So, well, Kennedy has said he's in favor of the testimony, he said that is a good vaccine. He's
whether Kennedy's in favor or not, Trump is not going to let him act on it.
That's right.
I think that's what the message here is.
Whoever's controlling who's the puppet and who's not, that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, it's apparently Trump's the boss.
Well,
this
is not the Biden administration, so I don't think there's a lot of puppetry going on. Sure Trump's running things.
Yeah, for sure, yeah. You know, I thought was missing, though, for the State of the State, and this kind of goes back to our Jobs Ohio episode,
is
he mentioned nothing, you know, for all the jobs and all the infrastructure, all the, this deal for companies coming in, he still hasn't addressed housing. Or he hasn't addressed property taxes.
And unemployment in Ohio is up.
Right.
In spite of all these projects.
Right.
It's up.
Right. I mean, in some counties are, you know, saying, I reference my home county where I grew up, Mercer County. They're saying, we have the lowest in the state, blah, blah, blah. It's like, because nobody wants to freaking live in that county.
No question. Morrow County.
You know.
I mean, for God's sake.
Right. I mean, it's, again, nothing against where I grew up, but it's that you don't have anything going for you. So
it's a farming
county. It's equaling out, you know, sort of thing. But, we can bring all these jobs in and such, but there's no housing, and we don't even know the deals that are made behind the doors for Jobs Ohio of how this is all going to work out economically.
My biggest thing is we got a Republican governor, Republican Senate, Republican House, Republican Supreme Court, and we have not cut taxes. You know, nobody's even really talking other than the Buckeye Institute and one or two
And Vivek.
About eliminating the Ohio income tax.
To that extreme, exactly.
We didn't even have an income tax till 1978. And it's like, come on, other states don't have income taxes. Florida, Texas, Tennessee, Arizona. You know, we could do it.
Yeah.
Why don't we do it? The Ohio taxpayers need a break. We are so overtaxed.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's nothing that we did. It's everything that's happening behind closed doors that companies aren't paying their fair share. They're getting these corporate welfare deals that we're paying for. We're paying for it.
We talk a little bit about cannabis and a little bit about speeding tickets. Mm-hmm. So there's legislation on cannabis to reduce the number of plants from 12 to 6 that you can grow at home. And that was based on some kind of testimony. Somebody came in, and I checked with a good friend of mine that used to be in that business, and he said he said the statistic was pretty accurate, that 12 plants could produce 7,200 joints a year based on the marijuana plant being able to be harvested between 3 and 4 times a year.
Okay.
Okay.
So that limits it down to basically 3,000 joints if you get 6 plants.
Yes.
I'm just doing the math.
100%. With 3,600 joints versus 7,200.
Now I understand why they're doing the plants. Exactly. I because it didn't make any sense at first. Like, okay,
but you know,
you a farm at 12 and then you're a micro farm at 6 or what?
So, but I believe in people power. Okay. We did, even though I voted against it, we did pass a constitutional amendment to allow recreational marijuana. And here's the legislature, in my opinion. Even though, I don't want any marijuana recreational. But, hey, the people voted. And the legislature here is acting against what the people said.
I know.
Recreational marijuana. I should be able to grow a field of it.
It's a deal. It's a deal right now. Yeah. And then they're whacking away
at it.
This
is the problem.
Yeah.
This is dare I say that I was right, that I told you so. This is why you don't create amendments to do legislative jobs.
Yeah, with 51%. Yeah.
Right. This is why you don't do that. Because once you implement it, you have to start tweaking it. And you can't tweak a constitutional amendment It doesn't happen.
You're not supposed to.
You're not supposed to. It's right. Not the Ohio Revised Code. It's the Ohio Constitution. We have an Ohio Revised Code where, guess what? We can go down to the legislative lawn, walk right in those doors, down to the General Assembly floor, and debate it out and stay until the cows come home.
And that's what should have happened.
That's what should have happened.
Mm. The other thing is there's a bill, Steve, this is I don't know how you feel about this, House Bill 111. They're going to tack on an extra – so above any other, you know, jail time and fines, if it's 30 miles an hour over the posted speed limit or higher, 4 points and $200 extra. Ohioans are said to – 8% of Ohioans, 1 out of 12, has a speeding ticket on their record, which is supposed to be, according to this research, we're 2 times the national average and 3rd highest in the U.S. for speeding.
Yeah, this is all statistical nonsense. I mean, look, because it,
$200, man, that's a lot.
If you want to go create more speeders in Ohio, all you have to do is put more cops on the road, because by creating, you're not creating more speeders, you're just catching more people speeding. And this is all about enforcement. So it's, I don't agree for a second that Ohio has more people that exceed the speed limit.
You think enforcement's getting better then?
I think there are more people getting pulled over and prosecuted for speeding.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, is there something in the water here that makes us faster or heavier feet?
Wow.
It's nonsense.
Yeah. Okay. I see your point.
I mean, go drive down south.
Yeah.
The flow of traffic is 100.
You're right. It's NASCAR country. Right. No, you're right.
They're just not pulling people over.
Yeah, you're right.
So Ohio doesn't have faster drivers. We just have more cops. And this kind of crap, this is my Injustice for All segment then, I think. So this kind of crap... All it does is, it's like the boy with his finger in the dike. You know, you stick it here, it's going to start leaking over there. So we're going to go fill that one over there. We're going to fill that one over there. It's not going to change human nature. Nobody's going to speed less because of this.
Yeah.
But when I get to court and I deal with a speeding ticket, we're just going to finesse around this stuff. And so it's like the sex offender registry. Sounds awesome. Except now there's more people on the sex offender registry than there should be. You know, we're putting people on the sex offender registry that don't belong there.
And you could say, well, Brett's got the example he brought up one time. I think you read something where, like, a guy's urinating in public. Now he's a sex offender.
Yeah,
sex offender.
Sometimes that's probably an outlier. But I'm talking,
you know what I mean. Yeah.
I'm talking like a consent case where you get two people similar age and they, you know, once it's so they're drunk and they have sex and somebody is convicted
like
through a plea bargain of an offense.
Okay.
All right. You know, it's not that it justifies the offense, but that's not the predator that we're trying to protect ourselves from.
That wasn't a rape.
Well, it was a rape. Say it was a rape.
Yeah.
Say, but it was like an acquaintance rape. I'm not defending acquaintance rape, folks. But that guy's not a predator. That gal's not a predator.
Well, statutory rape between two consenting high
school
kids.
Called a statutory rape or something like that. Now, look, there's no good rape, so this could easily be taken out of context.
Well, it's
sex. But my point is
I think you're making your point.
If the idea is to protect the public from sexual predators, there are sexual predators out there. Mm-hmm. There are habitual, like midnight rambler rapists out there doing that
kind
of stuff.
Hanging out in the park and
there
watching.
There are child pedophiles doing that kind of stuff.
So what you're saying is there's consensual sex that's happening that gets technically called statutory rape, but it's between two willing people.
Well, there's that. So yeah, but sometimes there's that. Sometimes there's acquaintance situations where consent is blurry.
Well, just let me ask you this, Steve. So you got two 16-year-old kids that went to the dance, they're having sex in the back seat. Why does a boy get charged with statutory rape?
He doesn't. That would not be.
Okay.
Yeah, that would not be.
Okay.
That would not be.
I was trying to understand if that's
so
an example.
I think there's different tiers here, and the sex offender list has different tiers, tier 1, 2, and 3. And you're supposed to put the most serious people on tier 3, which is the highest, believe it or not. So it's
reverse.
Or maybe it's the opposite. But anyway, you know, the idea is to protect us from predators, and not all sex offenders are predators.
Yeah.
It's just a fact.
Yeah, that's where I was going with that.
So, and it's not to condone acquaintance rape. I'm not doing that.
No.
But the point I was trying to make is, if you put too many people on a list, then you water down the effectiveness of the list.
And the list is meaningless.
And the list becomes meaningless. Yeah. The exception swallows up the rule.
Yeah.
So the speeding is like that. So you've statistically created yet another way. Or I guess my point of saying this is, in those types of cases, those outlier cases where they're not even coin tosses, or maybe there's a great defense.
Yeah, yeah.
And the prosecutor is saying, well, look, I need a plea of guilty, and you're going to be on a sex offender list.
Yeah.
I'm going to trial.
Yeah.
That's enough to avoid a felony sex conviction that I would have pled guilty to with my client.
Right.
Instead, we're going to trial, and guess what? We win. Yeah. Now you've got neither.
Yeah.
So the General Assembly trying to toggle the outcome of a case has create like this sliding door or ripple effect where it changes how we with boots on the ground deal with it. Because of the chess pieces on the table when I'm negotiating those cases, one of the biggest ones right in the middle is the sex offender registry. So I have a client who would say, yes, I'll plead guilty to a sex offense, but I don't want to be on the registry.
Yeah.
So sometimes we're able to say, look.
Work around
that. No non-sex felonies. So now we're pleading to an assault that doesn't have a registry.
Yeah.
So now what the General Assembly has done by mandating this stuff is created a situation where somebody who would have been a sex offender convicted is now not.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is that what they wanted?
That is not what they wanted.
Right. No. Of course not.
No.
So it's not that there's going to be more. There's going to be less. And again, these programs are not judged on the outcome, only the intent.
Yeah. Well, speaking of a possible sex offense, little justice picking up on that news is the former Cleveland Browns receiver Odell Beckham, was named as a defendant in a P. Diddy lawsuit out in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, the plaintiff is alleging that he was part of a gang rape of her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, don't know if he has denied it, of course. Has been very vociferous about. He said, you know, I wasn't even in that city ever. Didn't participate. Not one of the people involved. So.
We shall see.
If he's innocent, man, I hope, you know, obviously, if he's guilty, the other way.
All right. Well, we got the good, the bad, and the ugly. We probably ought to shift gears here and finish it up.
Yeah. So
things I hate.
My outrage of the week, if I can start, is this revelation that much of the legislation and pardons that President Biden signed were done with an auto pen.
Yeah, you stole my thunder here.
Where he was in another city. Even
yeah, like on I didn't vacation. Even know an auto pen existed, whatever the hell that is.
And people back at the White House are applying this device to his pardons.
What is an auto pen?
What is an auto pen?
Oh, it's a robot signature.
So it's not like a cut and paste signature. It's like
he never touched a pen.
It's a wet
thing.
Signature done by a robot.
That's right.
Good grief.
So wow. he did not actually. So as constitutionalists, where it says the president has to, you know, sign, right? They're wondering where those pardons. Like, are they effective?
Any of it. I mean, look.
But it is legal because we sign that stuff all the time.
No, I'm talking about the president.
I know. But
Not you
well,
and I.
Well, I know. I know.
No,
but,
I think. But, here,
but there's precedent.
Here's the distinction.
I don't know if it goes up or down.
Here's the distinction, I think. There are certain documents that I have had to sign that have to be what we call wet signed.
Yeah.
It's got to be in ink.
By you.
By me.
Correct.
There are other documents that I can e-sign.
Right.
That's right.
So I adopt a signature. We all have done it on
these
DocuSign
when
things.
When we filed this stupid CTA form.
Right, whatever it is.
Right.
So we e-sign it.
Yeah.
But sometimes, like bank documents or wills and trust, some of that stuff has to be wet signed.
A real estate
and the
closing.
The implication of a wet signature is that I'm doing it.
You're doing it. Exactly.
Now, so it looks like a wet signature if somebody forges my name, but it's not me. So
and to say that Biden wasn't held captive somewhere and he's
well, that's what, the argument.
Quote, robo signaturing it under duress.
So well, this is dicey
on.
Stuff.
Or did he even know that this was being done in his name?
Right.
Because at one point he told Speaker Mike Johnson that, I didn't sign legislation to do that. And the speaker had to go, Mr. President, here's your signature.
And apparently some robot did it, or maybe Biden didn't know.
Yeah.
But either way, that's scary stuff. I find that,
wow.
I'm with you. That's my outrage.
Wow.
Because I don't like that happens at all.
It might go to the Supreme Court. Like, is this stuff real? Are these pardons really
somebody's going to have to file a lawsuit.
Well, and you know, everybody's kind of making fun, not everybody, Trump is just doing the big marker pen signature, yeah. But it's like, but you see him doing it.
Well, at least
you know. I mean, yeah.
Look, there has to be cognition that when you sign a pardon that you're knowing that you're doing it.
Yeah.
Versus Valerie Jarrett or Susan Rice back at the White House saying, well, I think Hunter ought to get a pardon, and here I've got the president's auto pen.
Well, the one he probably did sign is that one.
Yeah. But Fauci's.
There's lots of them.
Yeah,
there's lots of them. Yeah. It's not just pardons.
What do you have, my man?
Well, it's a head-scratcher outrage to a certain degree. You probably heard Southwest Airlines going to start charging for checked bags.
Oh, I heard that. Yeah, right.
And in the analysis of it, they're projecting that they'll make $1.3 to $1.5 billion by doing this.
Billion?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
But they're projected to lose, because of this decision,
okay,
1.7.
Like people fly other airlines.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. Wow.
They're still going to lose money, but just not as much.
The funny thing I heard the riff I heard is that Amtrak came out right after that announcement and said, well, I guess we're the last, interstate transportation company that doesn't charge for bags.
They can't say bags fly free, but they could. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It might take you a week to get to LA.
That to me, I get that they're running thin. I get it. But it just, that really was the defining point of Southwest. I love flying Southwest, but it's that you're going to get rid of the three.
They were famous for that.
I wonder if they're going to back off on
Did
that.
Did they do assigned seating still or no?
They're going to do that. I think they're
Southwest is?
Yeah, they're going to start to implement that as well, too.
Then they'll be like everybody.
But I think it isn't because they need – I think they need to because people are just stupid in line. And they get – flying is not fun anymore.
They take
it
too
just
much
isn't.
Time.
Yeah, yeah, that sort of thing. But anyway, really an outrage, but just like a head scratcher going, really?
What do you have for wonderful, Steve?
I've been tied up in my own affairs this week, but I will say this. I feel good about the fact that spring is finally springing.
Oh my God, yes.
And I was trying to think as we were sitting here, what's my wonderful, because I didn't prepare it. And it was this. I'm starting to feel better, and I'm starting to feel better because I just feel like this winter was brutal. And it wasn't even the weather so much as it was. Maybe it was part of the weather. It just felt like it was brutal. And now we've got right around the corner all the good stuff.
Yes.
March Madness, mm-hmm. St. Patrick's Day,
right.
Spring weather.
Mowing
grass, if that's what you're going to do.
Yeah.
You know, it sort of feels like it's like you're coming out. And then, I had the back door open last night.
Yes.
And I could see sunlight coming in. So, as sad as it is, that's the one wonderful thing.
You got flowers pushing through? I have a few daffodils coming up.
Yeah.
I have a black thumb, Norm. I don't have flowers. there's no flowers in my universe.
Oh, God.
What do you got, brother?
I think it's wonderful. Whether my Facebook feed is just feeding me more of what I really want to see. But I'm really liking that I'm seeing more and more people really excited about astrological things. Like we just talked about before, the solar eclipse. Everybody got excited about that. Last night, lunar eclipse.
Astronomical.
Yeah.
Astrological.
Astrological, excuse me. Yeah. Well, anyway. Right. Astronomical.
Thank you.
Space stuff.
Yeah.
That it's just people are getting into these things look for.
Yeah.
It
is cool.
I mean, I got this app on my phone. We picked it up when we went to Sedona a couple of years ago. It's called Skyview, and you can put it up there, and you see the.
That's great.
I love that, for my birthday, I'm probably going to ask that we get the paid version because it shows more constellations. But it's just like at the beginning of the winter, I'm walking, and I see these three stars in a line. Going, that's kind of cool. I wonder what that is. I've never seen it before. Put up the things like Orion's belt.
Orion's belt. Yeah.
I just never got it.
If you follow that, you'll find the North Star.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was cool. Every night I can see, I go. I now know some constellations, and I'm getting the feeling that people are getting into that more and more, which means we're getting outside, we're enjoying, sort of thing. I just think it's great that people are noting things that are happening. Just take advantage of what nature brings you.
Right.
And that's great.
And with that app, you can distinguish between drones and stars.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
My big thing is, and I just think this is also funny as well as wonderful, is that Trump and his immigration team have reached back to 1798, and they're going to invoke the Alien Enemies Act of 1798 to fast track expulsions like these Iranian assassination crews and this young guy that organized the riots on Columbia's campus.
Yeah, now that was wonderful. Look, love it or hate it, man. Trump
throw
his ass out. He gone.
Yeah. No, there doesn't need to be a proceeding. You can just get evicted.
Right. Mm-hmm. If you're going to come into this country and preach anti-American sentiment and you want to destroy our country as a guest, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You know, I have told people this. I think I've mentioned on the show. When I toured Russia, every 3 days you have to report to the police as a tourist.
That's sort of like a sex offender registry.
Every 3 days. Yeah. And they deputize the hotels. Certain hotels are deputy stations where the manager will stamp your passport.
Well, imagine if it's your house. Hmm. And somebody comes in your house and starts looking around and says, I hate this place. You know what? You're awful.
Yeah.
You know what? I think you should change the color of your walls. Yeah. You should change your furniture. You should.
And you want them to leave. But they say, no, I have the right to stay here.
And, like, no, you have no right to stay here. Get the F out of my house.
Right.
And bye-bye.
Yeah. It's not like you're a citizen. If you're a citizen and now you
have the inalienable rights that are given to you because you're a citizen.
Yeah, not to start a riot, but
you still can't start a riot and you still can't commit acts of terror. You still
correct.
Can't support acts
there
of terror.
There are laws
and
you still, right.
But
right.
Like on our show last week, you could say whatever you want.
Yeah.
You
whatever.
Know,
right.
Within reason.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Almost anything you want. You
almost anything you want.
Almost
right.
anything.
Right.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. All right. Well, I guess that's going to wrap it up. This is Common Sense Ohio, brought to you by Harper Plus Accounting. If you've got a topic you want us to cover, you want to become a sponsor, just like Harper Plus, then you can check us out at commonsenseohioshow.com, where you can send us a comment. We also have, we're in the socials, so Facebook, YouTube, Rumble, we're rumbling, whatever that means. send us a comment. We get them sometimes. Norm replies. Check out our blogs. Check it all out. commonsenseohioshow.com. Coming at you each and every week right from the middle.